This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
Well, hi! Yeah, it's FUBAR Radio. I'm Rob Deering. This is James Acaster's iPod Shuffle. And I've got Stuart Goldsmith coming in a minute. But right now, it's just me and my iPod, and I'm going to shuffle it. Here we go. I don't know what's coming. It's going to be... Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Here we go. It's Status Quo, down, down, deeper and down, I might add. And I've got Stuart Goldsmith here. Hello.
Hey, buddy. Hello to you. How you doing?
I'm very excited. It's nice to see you. I'm excited about the show. And frankly, I'm excited about the Status Quo.
Oh, man, this is such a great idea. And I'm really looking forward to doing it. And I'm also terrified.
Yeah, well, there is pressure. I mean, assuming I've heard some of your records. And yeah, it can be...
Oh, man. With my main concerns, obviously, there's a lot of stand-up on there. So we're going to spin past that. That's been, some of mine. I mean, there's some voice memos in there that might even... You know, when you record yourself a gig. Yeah, yeah. So if we hear, like, it's 2005, please welcome.
I've got tapes of my children when they were little, which not only pointless but also kind of heartbreaking. They're that kind of toddler thing where they'll sing a song that they don't really know. It's
lovely.
And to anyone else, it'd be like, yeah, what the hell's that? And to a parent, it's like, my heart's been ripped out of my chest.
I blew my nephew's mind recently because he was watching back a video, a little iPhone-y video that we'd made, of him mucking about when he was 3, and he's 9 now. Mm-hmm. And I turned to the camera and said, hey there, Sam, this is what you were like when you were a baby, when you were 3 years old. And him 9 years old, watching it, kind of went, how did you know? How are you talking to me? It was like he thought I'd found a time hole or something. It was tremendous.
Well, as you know, my son's called Buddy.
Yeah,
and great the best name. Moment of that was when he returned a football to someone on Brighton Beach when he was really quite small.
Oh.
And the bloke, the total stranger, said, oh, thanks, Buddy.
Oh,
and he said
amazing.
It exactly like that. And Buddy was like, how do you know my name? That's brilliant.
How lovely. Right, is this me?
If you're ready, there you go. Plug that in, and I'll tell you when. So, I mean, I'm trying to think. I want to predict. I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see what comes.
Do you know what? I think we're going to have some goodies here from my old friend, Dr. Booty Grabber, which is the DJ name of my friend Andre, who's like my music pusher.
Yeah,
when I first got this magical device that can hold millions of stuff, he was like...
And let's have that name again.
Dr. Booty Grabber.
Yeah, good. Great. Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Here we go then.
Well, yeah, nice. Pretty hip. What the hell was that?
It's great. Well, it's down on my phone. It's down as because a lot of these songs, I don't know the names of them. And when you put loads of new individual songs on your mobile device, you know that it splits them up into artists and the rest of it. And I just found I had so many artists that only had one song in them each. So I just wiped out all the artists and called it all Dr. Booty Grabber because he was the guy that suggested them. And so as a result, I lost a load of information.
Yeah,
so
but it's like having a good compilation.
Exactly. So now I give them names like, I call that one. Because it sort of goes like that.
Yeah, and it's a bit super. I've got this thing. It absolutely ages me because when I hear anything that's got like bleepy, bleepy, I think of Super Noodles.
What's Super Noodles?
It has a Super Noodles advert years ago, which had a kind of Jean-Michel Jarre-ish kind of...
Oh, nice. Yeah, oh, that's popcorn.
Yeah.
That's called popcorn, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called popcorn.
Yeah. Good work there,
so not
the
noodles, popcorn. So different food.
Good spot with the Human Shazam. Do you know, I nearly did a show a couple of years ago called Human Shazam.
Oh, that's good, but it's a trade name.
Yeah, and also I think at that stage Shazam was quite new. I think now everyone knows what it is.
Human Shazam. You are a Human Shazam, aren't you?
I'm
You're
something
a culture
of a
vulture.
Human Shazam, although you did the popcorn just then, so good work.
Yeah, but I did. Maybe I'm also a Human Shazam.
And also, you know, in Edinburgh this year, no beat this.
No, what?
Yeah, don't worry. Beat This will return. Beat This will probably be at the Green Man and in various other places, but I'm not at the Edinburgh Festival this year.
Oh, okay.
But we'll be back.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to the Edinburgh Festival,
beat
though.
Beat This, though? What's the point?
But you don't have to tell me. You don't got to tell me twice.
Oh, mate. Apparently I do.
Yeah.
No, Beat This, what's the point?
You don't got to tell me twice.
You don't not got to double my negatives.
I did a joke there about repetition.
Oh, yeah, you did. I sort of almost missed it because I was busy enjoying the words.
Yeah, I did a joke there about repetition.
Boom!
I was
reflecting only the other day on your drinking and religion songs.
Yes.
I don't know why they came to mind because...
For listeners who don't know these songs, the drinking song goes, it makes you happy, but it makes you want to fight. It makes you think you're the only one that's right. It makes you think you're the best there is.
for no good reason at all.
And it's quite
drinking.
Drinking. It's serious, but it's fun. Whereas the religion song goes,
it makes you happy, but it makes you want to fight. It makes you think you're the only one that's right. It makes you think you're the best there is. For no good reason at all.
Religion!
Yeah. Which in turn makes the drinking song look a lot
Producer
funnier.
Amanda is filled with glee and clapping through the window. I enjoyed that. I think we sang that.
I've got to give the disclaimer. If you are religious, don't worry. We meant all the other religions.
The other ones. I know your act so well, I nearly joined in with the punchline.
Yeah, you can't sing along on the talking bits.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking shows to the Edinburgh Festival this year.
I am taking two shows, one of them can be secretly yours.
Mm.
I'm doing my hour, which is entitled An Hour.
Good title.
Thanks, man. You think so? I was worried about it because if you read it the right way, it's like a confident joke. And if you don't, then it's the blandest title imaginable.
Yeah.
It's like, it's two girls, an hour. I can't think of anything. But obviously, I can think of lots of things. But I just want it to be like it's a calm, confident DIY. Hey, you know that guy that does the Comedian's Comedian podcast? He's doing it. He's out there working it out.
He's doing,
it on his own self. And so it's called An Hour. And I'm just in love with it. I've done previews all week and I love it.
Very good. This is a good time for shows.
It really is.
It's funny because it must be a spring thing because I'm not going, but I'm still writing. It's an exciting
time. Good for you.
And also,
good comedian.
In the world of social
have
networks.
Have a comedian snack.
Yeah, that's right.
Some self-loathing in a biscuit.
I can't reach my bat to pat. And the other thing is, what do you think of the crowdsourcing your show title?
I don't like it.
Me neither.
I don't like it.
Sorry,
do
other comedians.
Do the work, mate.
This is your job.
I ask a couple of friends. I go, I'm thinking about this. What are your thoughts? I often ask, has anyone done this before? Because my nightmare is to go out there with... Do you remember, oh, bless him, when Colin Hoult went up there with his show Monsters and the poster... I love Colin's work so much. The poster was him with his face coloured in green and some bolts on his neck. And that year, Gervais did a show called Science, I think. So Ricky Gervais, one night only in the biggest venue in town in the world, who had it was Ricky Gervais' face, but green. And you go, oh, all this work has gone into looking unique and now...
Yeah, Penguin Classics poster, absolutely beautiful. Two different people did that.
Yes.
The year
yes.
of my show, 2007, Charmageddon.
Liked
there it. There was a show called Bananageddon. But I think we both got away with it.
Bananageddon. And there was also Matt Ewins did Bruce Hammer's Banana Apocalypse, which was ridiculous. Do you know Matt Ewins? Have you seen this?
Yeah, yeah.
I champion Matt Ewins.
I was on with him yesterday.
Oh, really?
Fantastic.
He's incredible. Yeah. But he got a quote from that show, which was like, wandered around aimlessly, claiming that the rest of the cast had died. Because that was the premise of the show, was the cast had just died, so he was going to do it anyway. But he wasn't known enough as a comedian for anyone to kind of get their heads around that. So it was this incredibly awkward thing whereby people were watching going... The rest of the cast have died. And he would never break character. It's wonderful.
I'm in a difficult position because I don't like it when people ask about the show titles. Mm. I mean, like you say, if you say I've got two, which one's best or whatever. But shall I call my show?
Yeah.
It's like, that's your problem.
Yeah.
That's like saying, what shall I call my novel?
What shall my first joke be?
Exactly.
Well, write a joke and then pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
I was
thinking about calling the show Crowdsource, but spelt S-A-U-C-E.
Yeah, I mean, to do that, you would need to be able to spell source.
I would be able to write it down ahead of time, Rob, as you well know.
I had a song in the show called Crowdsourcing, with an apostrophe after
that. Oh, not crowdsourcing.
Do, do, do. It's crowdsourcing. It's a good song.
Sounds like barefooting. Do you remember Barefootin'? Barefootin', barefootin'. Ain't got no shoes on. Barefootin'. It was an early Aardman animation, was it, the music video to that. You know, they did My Baby Just Cares For Me with
little
cat.
Yes, of course. Yep.
So then we had a video of Aardman animations, and one of them was Barefootin', and it was on the surface of the moon with all these little people sticking their feet out of craters.
When you mention the moon, it puts it all...
Makes sense now.
My kids love the Aardman stuff. They're all over it. My son's birthday party, the aforementioned Buddy, he had a Wallace and Gromit cheese party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
with real cheese. We had a
fondue and then we did stop motion animation. That is not a party you do every day of the week, is
you,
it?
Like you, with the kids at the party, you all made stop motion animations?
Yeah, there weren't that many of us at the party.
Okay.
Because, you know,
so you and Buddy.
If you're getting a plasticine involved, then you can't invite everyone in year five. That would be...
No, that's true.
That everyone would have PTSD.
Great idea. What a cool dad you are.
Oh, yeah, thanks. That's me thwapping my fingers together.
Thwap. I can't do that, so I have to do the gesture with my hand and just say, click.
Great. I am not going to Edinburgh, and I've got a great new show title.
Go on.
No, I can't tell you.
Oh,
yet.
You don't want to let it out of the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally understandable.
Let it out of the bag, that's it. That's not it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you while I play my next song. It's going to be a secret that I knew.
Let's do it.
Are you ready? This is going to be good. This is my next song. Got no idea what it's going to be. And, well, here it comes. Rise and Shine, Sister, by the Cardigans. Not the Sister, I was just saying a little extra bit.
Oh, we talked Cardigans. Over the last drums.
Oh, it was nice. It was like the band were behind us and they were wrapping up. I liked it a lot. I love the Cardigans.
I don't mind the Cardigans.
Can you name the lead singer of the Cardigans?
Jimmy Cardigan. I have no idea. I don't know.
Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Corrigan, that's what I was Alan Cardigan. The lead singer of the Cardigans is called Weepy Wednesday. I don't know.
Nina Persson.
Nina Persson. Is that a joke? As in,
You're so racist. No, it's just her name, Nina Persson.
No, but it could be like Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction. It's a pun on peripheral, isn't it? Peripheral, Perry Farrell.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that. I never knew that till this moment.
Producer Amanda just did some sterling work there, moving the mic in front of my face.
The listeners are aware of that.
I had moved it to one side so that I could see you. Now I'm peeping at you between this little
top-notch
thing.
Top-notch radio. Yeah. If you could have answered that question about the Cardigans, or indeed Nina you want Persson. To talk to us, or join Nina Persson. She does that.
Who will you speak to? Nina Persson.
Nil point. call us 0330-223-0200.
That is not memorable. Say
that
it again.
That makes it impossible to remember it. 0330-223-0200.
Read it as a number?
Yeah, 0330.
I mean in terms of like a number like 2 million.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's 0.300. 3,300. 0330-223-0200. Or you can email James, even though he's not here.
Oh, you can email James. James' email account.
Yeah,
do we have access to what he gets
sent?
We
have access. This is his James at FUBAR. James
Secret
at FUBARradio.com. Or you can tweet FUBAR Radio. Or you can follow Rob Deering on Twitter. He is an attorney in San Diego.
Oh, I like that joke!
True story. Nice guy. Walks dogs.
You can go to my website, stuartgoldsmith.co.uk. Or you can go to the website, stuartgoldsmith.com, with whom I vie for top position on Google, because he is selling the Stuart Goldsmith 7 Steps to Wealth technique, the Midas Touch.
Are you both? So you're not both of those people?
I'm not both of those people.
Because you have two Twitters.
I do, because I have at ComComPod, which is my Comedian's Comedian podcast Twitter, and I have at Stu Goldsmith, which is my own stuff, for which I tweet approximately one joke every year, and then people email me to tell me, people tweet me to go, oh, that's actually in someone else's set. I go, okay, fine. I'll go back to not tweeting jokes.
But if you make up a joke and then you tweet it, it's annoying if someone says someone's already done that.
It's a close friend who I should have seen, Stuart Laws. He's not a close friend, but he's within my friendship circle.
Yeah.
And
and he's very strict.
Stuart
Laws.
I tweeted, yes, it's ironic that I fell afoul of Stuart Laws.
I think he's a concept.
Yeah. I tweeted the following joke. I've just seen some monkeys at the zoo. That's a gibbon. So something like that. You're likely to see monkeys at the zoo. That's
good.
A gibbon. Yeah. Something like that. And then I received no less than 4 tweets and DMs from other people going, you know, Stuart Laws has got like a 20-minute bit about that. So I was like, no, I didn't. And I'm embarrassed not to have seen his act because I like him, but I've just never happened to gig with him.
Yeah.
But I came up with a proper stupid joke today.
Go on.
This is my stupid joke. I tried to find that cardboard restaurant we went to, but I think it was just a pop-up.
Yeah, good.
Very nice. You don't know how much glee that fills me because I don't do jokes. I've written like 4 jokes in my life. The rest of it is sort of wonky observations delivered with glee. But that's like a joke.
Yeah, it's like a joke. That's like the... I used to own a newspaper stand, but it blew away.
Do you want to hear my worst joke I ever wrote? This I wrote maybe 10 years ago. This is awful. It doesn't work. I'm trying to get you in low expectations. Like watching a Tom Cruise sci-fi film. Just go in low, enjoy yourself.
That's wonderful.
I used to
leave half an hour before the end. No. If you've done that with Minority Report, you'd think you've seen the best film in the world.
Just I like Minority finish. Report.
Yeah, it doesn't finish well though.
I like the ending.
Steven Spielberg,
what didn't you like about it?
It just keeps wandering, it keeps limping in. How many endings? Excuse you.
I moved the crane thing.
Sorry,
I didn't want Amanda to have to get up.
Tell your joke.
This is my bad joke. I used to be part of a synchronized skydive tap dancing team. Mm-hmm. Synchronized skydive tap dancing, right? Mm-hmm. But we kept falling in sync. That doesn't work, does it? It's meaningless.
Falling in sync.
Asynchronous. No. I'll come back to you.
Yeah, that doesn't... It was more of just a sentence than a joke.
I reckon we kept falling in sync. Like, it used to be a tap dancer, we kept falling in the sink. It's a riff on that.
Yes, I see.
But I kept falling in sync. I was trying to do that. But this was a long time ago before I was a comedian.
Yeah, yeah. I've got... I used to be in a band, rock band, heavy rock band, but very tidy rock band called
OCDC.
Yeah, that's,
I like it.
That's a proper joke. Second tweet, ComCom Pod...
Yes.
It's the Comedians Comedian podcast.
That's my little podcast.
How many of those have you done now?
I have now done 114. Yes, quite a lot now, because I do them every week now. It was bi-weekly for a bit, then it went weekly, then it went bi-weekly again, and now it will, and thus forever shall stay, weekly.
Weekly.
Which is quite a lot of stuff to do, but I've got some nice people that help.
Who was the last person who's doing next?
Tim Key, part two of Tim Key went out last week. I'm interviewing Nick Mohammed tomorrow, which is going to be awesome. And then also in the give you a little exclusive in the pipeline, I'm talking to Jeannie Yashere about doing it, which will be fascinating. She's got her career has gone in diverse paths.
She's been on this show, I believe, but with James.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
She's lovely and very, very funny. So she's coming up, and also Ellis James is coming up. And later this week, John Gordillo, the professor.
Oh, he knows.
Professor John Gordillo.
When I said he knows, by the way, I wasn't trying to sound like Dapper Laughs.
No, you sound like you doing the coffee song.
Good,
he knows,
good.
She knows. It's not lattes, a cappuccino. There's an awful lot of your material has found its way into my life.
I mean, you want to pay some attention to Stuart Laws like you have.
Yeah, you'd think so. I cannot see two policemen walking as a pair without going, a couple of cops, cops.
Dude, I would sing the theme from The Bill, but that's our another story.
Did it.
I want to walk away from you now so you can see the backs of my heels, but it's really not necessary. Okay, get your phone ready so you can play another song.
Okay, here we go. It's ready. And now, listen, I've got to check the rules because do I need to press shuffle again? Because it went to the next random shuffle thing and it's quite a good song, but does it need to be a surprise press?
No, do that. I'm just going to... Okay, so... And I was going to... Well, I'll ask you... I've got another question about the Comedian's Comedian. But I'll see if you can answer this off the top of your head.
Go on.
The Comedian's Comedian podcast, you've done 114.
Yes.
What are the headlines? What have you drawn out from that over time? What does everyone accidentally agree on?
Oh, I wouldn't say there's anything that everyone accidentally agrees on. The one thing that everyone agrees on is gigging more can't make you worse.
Mm-hmm.
Always work, always make stuff.
Always do gigs. Oh, that's good. That's what I always say. When people say, I want to be a comedian, what should I do? I say, gigs.
And the other thing is book them in before you're ready. This is my advice now rather than the thing. But whenever people say... The other thing I always say to people who want to be comedians, I say, just book one in immediately. Just immediately.
It's
get over yourself,
book
a gig, and then worry about it when you get there.
That works when you're in a band as well. That's why, I genuinely think that's why I can play guitar and drums. Since the days when I started, I've played a lot and I've got good and drums have got bad again. But the first time was when someone dropped out and I had to play a gig.
Yeah.
And your skills just go... Because they've got to match
that
the
sounds
gig.
Like, that genuinely sounds like an anxiety dream for me.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to play a gig.
Yeah. I was in one gig where the guitarist said, yeah, I can't do it. I haven't got enough time to practice. And he was so much better than me. I was like, but I'm on at the gig as well. Now I have to do it. And it was really, the nightmare you're imagining. The gig was like that.
Oh, God, I can't bear it. I can't bear it.
And then, some girl from my primary school got off with some bloke who'd come down from my new school, and I just, it was like something off of Biker Grove. It was a nightmare.
Did you see Joel Dommett's show, Finding Emo?
I've talked to him about it.
It was sensational. It was so good about him putting his band back together, his emo band from when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And they played one gig, and they played Last Resort by Papa Roach. It was so great.
I'm currently trying to do a 25-year reunion of one of my bands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite exciting.
Are you really? I'm sorry.
OCDC. It's true. My whole life sounds like a lie. Okay, play us your song. Let's
hear
it.
Here
we go. It's going to be good.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Yes, that was that sting really hurt the mood of that record.
Whoa,
didn't it?
Absolutely! Not to mention my ears. I just put my cans back on.
Yeah, well,
us radio people call them.
Yeah, your headphone and microphone relationship is really your chair.
Yeah,
relationship.
My chair and stool relationship.
You're
is
giving
going
it quite bad. A bit of slapstick, which isn't great radio.
I just thought
it's fun for me.
I thought there'd be little rolly wheels.
Yeah, that sounds that sounds like you're just attacking a machine. That was the Boxer, the Nationals cover of the Simon and Garfunkel song. Very different mood.
It was Green Gloves from the album Boxer.
Oh, thanks, Green Gloves.
Yes, it's a weirdly creepy song. Get inside. It's talking about like spying on his friends and getting inside their hearts and hiding in their house
and doing their gardening for them.
Yeah, I cannot keep up with the joke master.
I liked it, but it was moody. I thought it was good. I thought it caught you. Do you remember? It's funny doing this show with you because listeners. Stuart and I once went to Swansea and back. I don't know if you've ever done that from London. It's a long journey.
It was the best of times.
Yeah, and it was the worst of times, which is weird.
Dickensian road trip.
He kept saying, I'm going to play you this song and then play me a song. And basically, he took me on a massive tour around all the records
this
he'd
is
ever
had. No. Before you give away the punchline of this anecdote, we've got to set this up correctly. You said to me, play me loads of stuff and I'll tell you what you're into. It was explicitly a challenge from you. You said, play me your five favourite songs and I'll get a sense of what you're into.
Okay,
continue
nice.
Continue the anecdote.
So we unpack it. I don't know what songs they were, and they were theoretically diverse. And then I said, do you like moody stuff? Like that one, basically. It's kind of moody,
you said to
minimal.
Me, what you like is a minimal thing with one voice telling a story and such and such. And you said, which means you'll like these films, and you name three films that I love, and you'll like these books, and you name three books that I love. And I was like, oh, God, I thought I was all eclectic. And it turns out I'm incredibly easily guessable.
Don't be upset. You know, I saved you 10 years. You know.
Yes.
So yeah, that was good times. So it's nice. It's almost like the circle is complete here today with you playing these records.
Yes. Well, the fact that it's shuffled means that we will get probably a better statistical analysis of thing. Have you pressed the button?
Yes, been
well
randomized.
Done. So, hey, Rob, what happens when you press the red button that's inside the little glass case?
During
the last song, I opened the little glass case next to the emergency button, and Rob freaked out.
Yeah, a coloured gas was released, and we passed out for a few minutes. But I think we're okay now.
I want to know what the button does. Now, you were my first ever guest.
How long ago was that? Because I know it was. What was exciting? I was the first ever guest on the Comedians Comedian podcast
over 3 years ago.
Really nice. It was on my birthday, so 3.5 years
there
ago.
There we go.
It was on November the 28th.
Oh, I love when people can remember stuff. I mean, it's your birthday, fine.
And, it's 2012, so that was the big thing of the year, wasn't it? 2012, that was the year of...
the Rob Deering's birthday.
Rob Deering's birthday ComCom podcast.
Yeah, that was it. And so you were my first guest, and I chose you for several reasons. One, I was very scared, and I thought you would be nice. Because you're my friend.
You're good to me.
And two, you are someone who is prodigiously good at jokes. And the whole point of the podcast is to find out how people write their jokes.
Oh, I didn't realise you were going to blow smoke up my ass quite so effectively.
Oh, no, man, you are.
I thought you were going to say, I'm just never short of an opinion. I love it when people come to me for my opinion on things.
Yes.
On anything.
True. This is true. I panic. I go, what am I supposed to think?
No, I'm straight in. I mean, in a way.
Ask me my opinion on something.
What do you think of Birdman?
I liked Birdman. Yeah, okay, I'm fine with that.
Good, you made it. Well,
I panicked for a second, but I did enjoy Birdman.
Here's my recommendation. If you want to have a triple bill, go for the theatre triple bill and watch All About Eve from the, 1950, Bette Davis. Great film, sometimes forgotten now. And it was nominated for 14 Oscars that year. Then watch Bullets Over Broadway, overshadowed by stuff around Woody Allen.
Okay.
And you don't see Diane Wiest anymore. She's blooming fantastic. Bullets Over Broadway. Uh-huh. Then Birdman, the theatre trilogy.
Nice.
Strongly recommended.
I thought this was going to be a game that was less involved and more kind of cleanly thematic. For example, book your comedy gig or book a music festival using three bands that are thematically linked. For example, the Bees, the Hives, and Sting. I like doing those. Oh, that's a good game.
And the Honeys.
And the Honeys. And Jimmy Wax. I don't know. Nightmares on Wax. Nightmares on Wax. I could have got there.
Or Wax.
Do you know, I've just improvised Jimmy twice. That means I'm a bad impro guy.
Yeah. Jimmy Cardigan.
Weepy Wendy.
That's what Jimmy Carr's. That should be his show in about 20 years.
Jimmy's Cardigan.
When he's like Val Dunican.
Yes, nice. So, while we're on the subject of the podcast, I'll wrestle us back to that.
Yeah,
subject.
No, I want to talk about it.
Because the thing I must remember to say is that I'm really excited because that was a live one. We did those as the first two were live. There was you and then Dan Evans the following week, the following month or something. And then since then, most of the time, I interview comedians in depth to try and get inside their heads and get my green gloves out and try and work out how they write their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to interview people where they do their writing, which is with most recently Tim Key, because it was in his sort of nerve center, which is
beard.
It was in his synapse. Yeah. he has a room with an oxblood leather sofa and
just the color, right?
Yeah, as far as I know. Post-it notes all over the walls, strings, pins. It's like a murder investigation.
Excellent.
And all wiggly lights. And he had a dimmer switch, which he didn't know about, because there was a dimmer switch like it in my mum and dad's old house. And I went, oh, it's one of those dimmer switches. And he went, no, it isn't. And I went, yes, it is.
Stop fiddling with the switch.
I just love a fiddle. Paul Sinner in his car, because he doesn't write anything down. He drives and thinks and writes in his head. So I like to interview people where they write. But sometimes I do the shows live, and I've done them live at the Edinburgh Festival for the last 3 years. And I'm coming up. I'm doing them at the Soho Theatre.
Ah, when?
I've got four. The first Tuesday of the month, from the 7th of April. It's the first Tuesday in April. And
that's soon.
Yeah, great. I know. I don't know who the guest is, but I'm going for... I can't tell you who the guests are, because I've got some irons in the fire. I've got some horses in the race, and they are big, big, big names.
Yeah.
So I can't guarantee them until they're locked
in. Got some irons in the horse.
Got some horsey fire irons.
Yeah. Yeah, feeling pretty sorry for that horse right now. Yeah,
well, he knew the risks.
Excellent. Well, that'll be great.
I can't wait.
It's great. I mean, it's because it's nice. It's a strange crossover, because I think for comedians it's fascinating, but for everyone it's fascinating.
Yes. Loads of people like email me and say, I listen to it when I'm running, I listen to it when I'm baking cakes, I listen to it when I'm in the bath.
It's a quintessential podcast. I mean, I still get people coming up to me and saying, oh, I just heard your one. And it basically means they've been listening to it and have gone back to
yes,
the beginning.
People start with like recent favourites of theirs. Like Ross Noble did it recently. David Cross has done it. Milliken's done it a couple of times. What's his face? Lovely Brendan Burns came on for the second time recently, and we had a grudge match about some stuff that was said in the first one. So those are a really good pair. Those good sort of companion pieces. One of the most gratifying things, other than the way it has made Open Spots think that I'm daddy comedy, which I am not, but that's really nice. And I know that I've created, I think the running tally is something like 14 different people have said, I listened to the show, I've always wanted to do stand-up, I'm going to give it a go, thank you so much, yeah. I'm gigging now. So I'm like, great, don't do that, there's too many comedians.
Yeah, but you want to be clear, you are just the conduit.
I'm just a tool.
You conduit.
So that's really good. And then what I love is that people come up to me, comics come up to me at Edinburgh, this happened a lot, and said, oh, I keep having people turning up to the show who say they've heard me on the podcast, thanks. And that's great, because I only have people on the show that I absolutely love and want to champion. So,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, of things I've done, of podcasts I've done, it's the, you know, certainly for people more, set lots of times coming up to me and saying, I've heard that. Yeah, that happens a lot.
Great. Oh, I'm very pleased to hear it.
And here's a little insight for those listeners. That was when we did it, we'd already revised it, haven't we? Because you met me in Edinburgh in the street and you said, come into my kitchen a minute. And then we started chatting.
Oh, yeah.
And you taped it on your phone.
Oh my God, I'd completely forgotten that.
That's where it all began.
You're not only the first episode, you're the first Protev episode as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Although technically the first ever one was Simon Evans, because the whole idea was I wanted to get Simon Evans to do a masterclass in how to write jokes for me and some other comics. I had this idea, why don't we all chuck 20 quid in and pay him to teach us how to write jokes for an hour, because he's a brilliant joke writer. And he said, God, no, I wouldn't be interested in doing that at all. That's hideous, but you can buy me a coffee. So I had a really enthralling chat with him and went down to Hove and hung out and had a coffee and listened to him wax lyrical about jokes and stories and life and everything. And I walked away thinking, I could totally have recorded that. And then I hadn't. So he's the lost episode.
That's brilliant.
So I'm thinking of, I need to get him on for like episode 500 or something.
Yeah,
awesome
you're the only one who knows. And
yeah,
then
I
when
know.
You talk to him, he'll go, I can't think of anything.
I've got
nothing
stuff,
to tell you.
And then snap his neck. I've got all I need. You're over.
Yeah, that's it. End him. End you. Is that what's going to happen? Once you've got all the comedians, you're just going to kill them all.
Yes.
And you release the gas.
Yeah, and I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to loom up behind them and do that neck snapping thing that the SAS do. Clunk, clunk,
yeah,
like
just
that.
One move. You know, that actually can't be done.
Thank you. I'm noodling around with some material about it at the moment, and I didn't think it could be done, because it looks like you're just making someone look quickly left and right.
Yeah,
I don't know what
right.
the thinking
I mean,
behind it is at
don't
all.
Get me wrong, it would probably quite hurt their neck, but it's the same thing as punching someone to knock them out for several hours. Can't be done. I've tried it so often. Okay, now this next song is from me, and I'm hoping it's going to be good, because your
Let's
last
go.
One was kind of cool and good. So this is my next song, and it is great.
Who's this? Who is it?
He seems cross. He seemed cross to me there.
Yeah, but he seemed energetic.
Yes, that's true. That was Public Image Limited with Rise. I don't know if you know that song, but I love that song.
Yes, yeah, I never knew that was them.
That's so great. I lost that song for years. You know when you forget a song exists?
Yes.
And you hear it one day and you go, but, oh, Yes. And then I put it on my running playlist. And I'm a big runner.
You are a big old runner.
I love the running. And I can't remember a time when that hasn't come on and I haven't thought, go on then, and run a bit faster, run a bit better. And, you know, that's a 6-minute song. So you run with that, you've run a long way.
Yeah, and it's great. I suppose it has an almost hypnotic quality because it's so repetitious, but in a good way, repetitive in a good way.
Absolutely.
And so you get into the zone. I think the trick with running, and I can't do it, so I don't know the trick, is to distract yourself and kind of zone out. There's an
element of unlockery. It's meditative. Before I got into running, I would always have said, I want to do some exercise, I want to do some cycling or some fast walking, but I want to include it in my day. I don't want to waste time, you know, going off and spending an hour exercising to no other avail.
Yes.
And running is exactly the opposite of that. Now I find time to go out and just run. And at the end of my run, I'm exactly where I was when I started.
Yes.
And you can totally unlock. But I always... It makes me the productive qualities are notional. Maybe I'm wasting hours and hours a week. You're right.
It's a possibility. I discovered something similar with my recent nuptial impending. Well, it's not nuptials. Nuptials is the actual wedding.
Yeah, engagement.
Engagement is the word. I was looking for another word for engagement.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
He's engaged.
Oh, I
am. To a wonderful woman.
Otherwise engaged. No, I'm not otherwise engaged.
I'm just,
say, just the one kind of engaged.
I mean, I married two women. I know, it's bigger me. But I...
wow.
Yeah, that happened.
That was nice.
When did you get engaged and how did that happen? Tell it.
I got engaged in the gayest possible place on God's green earth. I am engaged to a lady.
God's just green just gloved earth.
Clarify that. we were in San Francisco, very gay city. We were in the Castro gay district. Mm-hmm. We were outside the former base of operations of Harvey Milk, Castro Cameras.
Did you wear some flowers in your hair?
I didn't.
You were told that if you went to be sure.
I know, but I did when I was travelling there, but as soon as I got there, I took them out because they were itching.
Right.
So,
Fair enough. I did the same thing when we went to Hitchin. That doesn't even make sense. Shut up. Karen, telling your story.
I got down on one knee outside the former site of Castro Cameras. We'd just been on a 2-hour gay and lesbian historical walking tour. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say that if my partner and I have a child and it does not turn out to be gay, she'll be cross. she just really, really wants a gay
child. When
you
say a gay and lesbian historical walking tour, yes. I want to be absolutely clear. It's the history that's gay and lesbian, not the walking.
Some of the walking was gay. I think we were probably the only straight people on the tour, including the guide. So it was pretty gay. It's pretty gay, pretty lesbian. It's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been to the Castro.
I haven't been to San Francisco.
The pedestrian crossings are rainbow coloured. They're great. It's so great. We walked past the Gay and Lesbian Freedom Band. Great big gay and lesbian freedom band, brass band. Terrific. Yep. So anyway, we were outside the thing and I'd been building up to it. I'd smuggled the ring with me from New Zealand.
Did she have the whiff?
Do you think none she whatsoever. Once I decided to do it, I convinced myself
that she was expecting it. Did she have the whiff?
Did she have the whiff?
She caught your whiff.
The whiff of love.
That's the whiff.
Well, she's my pre-whiff now. This be me pre-whiff. She had no idea, and I convinced myself that she did. So we were in New Zealand for 2 weeks on holiday, and then we went to San Francisco for a week on holiday, which sounds terrifically self-indulgent, but it was one of those once-in-a-lifetime, hey, maybe we'll start trying for babies soon. Let's get all the fun out of the way and the travel. So let's get the fun out of the way.
Ouch.
So we all the way through San Francisco, I had the ring in my pocket. No, not San Francisco, all the way through New Zealand. I kept thinking, every time our eyes met in a gorgeous glacial pool somewhere in the Haast Pass.
You thought the blue pools. She was like Sauron's eye looking at the ring in the pocket.
I thought she was looking at me like our eyes would meet and I'd be thinking, you could do it now. No, stick to the plan. Don't make this about you. Make it about her. And I think she would suit San Francisco. That would be for her. Rather than me tactically making her fall in love with New Zealand, which I would love us to move to, but we cannot. So I thought that she'd be thinking, do it now. Oh, he didn't do it now. It turned out she had not thought that at all the entire time.
Yeah, of course.
So when I eventually did it, she said, let's go and get some food at the end of this tour. I said, let's get some food in a minute. She said, why are you crying? And I said, will you marry me? And she said, yes. And it was totally magical. And then a naked man walked past wearing only a golden sock.
Brilliant. Are you sure he was there? Was it some kind of Love's Dream representation?
Oh, man, maybe he did represent Love's Dream. If we had a lovely, gay, impish kind of, what would it be? What is Love's Dream? Is it sort of Eros or something? Like a little cherub?
Yeah. Cupid.
Maybe he was a little Cupid. He was a little cherub.
Yeah.
With a little golden sock, barely covering his bow and arrows. And,
was it a quiver? it was hanging quite still.
And the lovely thing then was, he walked past a little golden sock and she said, "I presume this is the ring." And I was like, I wish I'd thought of that. That would have been sensational. So we did it. Now we're all engaged. And this, the reason I mention it is because, similar to your running thing, thinking this isn't for me, you know, all the rest of it, I went into the engagement thing thinking, sort of, not that I'd sort of articulated this to myself, but looking back, I suppose I thought I was giving something to her. I was going, this will make her really happy. And I realised I've given this incredible thing to me. I have never been happier.
It's going to make you both happy.
Gee, oh my God. I was Mr. Indecisive. Captain Indecisive. Mr.
good. Is this in your show, right?
Yeah, no, I've dropped it because it's not good enough. And as I did it, I was thinking, this is good enough for a conversation. I was wrong. But I was always so indecisive, and making a decision has made me go, actually, this has cured all my indecision. This has made me feel just completely brilliant about it. I don't need to spend any time worrying about whether or not I'm the right one for her, she's the right one for me, can I see us together? All those grinding anxiety
It's like all those home things. It's like when you move into a house or a flat that's good for you, you think, I didn't realise that I was thinking about the next place until I stopped.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I feel fantastic about it. And I was going to call my show Stu Gets Engaged at the End, just to sort of take the narrative drive out of it so that I couldn't exploit it for things. But I'm not even going to do the story in my show because, come on. Yeah. I think when these people do shows about stuff that's happened in their life, I think they basically kill their own dads for something to talk about.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, sometimes it works. You can't force it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and vice versa. You know, I saw Russell Crane's show where his dad died, and it was very moving. Very, you know, and I didn't know, you know.
Yeah.
I know it was cheap, but it can be. I don't even want to get into my relationship with my dad and my dad's illness and how it's affecting my career.
Oh, God,
it's all healthy.
Yeah.
Woohoo! But okay. My wife was completely surprised when I proposed, and then very, very happy. But I mention it because her first response was good. This is years ago. I proposed on Waterloo Bridge.
Her first response makes it sound like she turned up with tactical gear shotgun. First response.
Yeah, primary response. I said to her, I don't think I said, "Will you marry me?" I kind of handed her a picture of an engagement ring that I couldn't afford and got down on one knee. And I said, "Will you?" And she went, "No."
That's lovely. Really.
Then she quickly corrected it to yes, but I had to accept her first answer.
Oh, so unlucky.
I really miss her. We're talking of being sort of a gay-friendly straight men. As you probably know, I was in Outings, the play in Edinburgh last year.
You were, yes.
Yeah, which was great. Really good
show. I never saw it. I'm sorry I didn't see that.
It was kind of quasi-verbatim theatre. It wasn't verbatim because we turned it into a narrative, but it was all...
Quabatim? They said it couldn't be done.
They said it shouldn't be said. It was gay quabatim. So we did the show, which was all about gay, lesbian, trans, all different people coming out, and they were all true stories. And we told some of them in depth, and some of them in a trice, and it was funny, and it was moving, and da da da. It was a great thing to be involved in. But so that you made me think of that when you're talking about your San Francisco story. But also, it had a celebrity guest every day. One of the celebrity guests was Simon Callow. Very exciting. Simon Callow. You know,
yes.
I met him.
Actor Simon Callow.
Actor, the
wedding dead guy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know Oscar Wilde, but I'd get his fax number for you. I was on a bus the other day and he got on.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, it's my mate Simon from when we were in the play.
Oh.
And do you know what I said to him?
Go on.
Nothing.
Oh, well, that's probably a good idea because it would have been heartbreaking if he'd gone.
I think so.
Do you know what would have been worse? Like, he could have gone, "Oh, Rob, I'd like to see you, dear boy." He could have gone, "Hello, who are you?" Or worse, he could have pretended to recognise you in a way that he just assumed you were a fan.
And I would have known.
And you'd have known, and that would have been heartbreaking. So it's much better. It's much better to be cool, unless you're actually friends with the person.
I just told Twitter. It made me feel a lot better. Drunkenly, I once met a girl who was in a James Bond film, and I'd met her on a TV programme. So then when I met her again, I was with other people. I went, "I know you! I know her!"
Yes.
It wasn't good. I've learned my lesson. I've learned from this.
In East Dulwich, there is a locksmith called Callow Master Locksmith, which as I walk past I always say, "Oh, Hello, Master Locksmith. It's lovely. That's the name
in Stoke Newington, there's a van hire firm called Berlin Van Hire, and it's on Berlin Road, and it just upsets me that it's not called.
It's not called Van Berlin.
Why is it not called Van Berlin?
Myself and my betrothed, Sarsky, have a great game that's very difficult to play. We've invented loads of games, and I will seed them throughout the rest of this chat, if you don't mind, time here, because you'll enjoy some of these. One of them, it's probably the hardest one, it's called Flatline. And it's named after, in Bristol, there is a company who you ring up and they get you a flat, right?
Yeah.
Flatline. But it's a terrible name because it's associated with death.
Death, yes.
So right. The game is to come up with, we might need to do this during a song because it's not easy, to come up with an appropriate but inappropriate punning title for a business.
Yeah, Runner's Need is a good one.
Runner's
that's a real one. Sorry, Runner's Need. But that's a pun on runner's knee, which is an injury.
Oh, is it? A pun on runner's knee?
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't realise. Yeah. Yes, my friend is a brickie, and he had a housemaid's knee, and he was calling it sniper's knee to make himself feel better about it.
Very good. Right, we need your next track, so
let's
plug
do
yourself
it.
In. I've got a couple more for you, though. The shops in petrol stations that are called On The Run.
Yes.
On the run means you've done a crime. Yeah. On the go is fast. At a run is fast. On the run is after a crime.
Yes, it is true. On the lamb.
Alton Towers, where wonders never cease. Wonders never cease is negative.
Where wonders
wonders will never cease.
Yes, you're
tidied
right.
Tidied your bedroom, wonders will never cease.
I always assumed that the TV programme Mock the Week was a joke about mocking the weak, as in mocking the afflicted. You mock the weak.
Yes,
and
I
it's a pun
it
on that. So then people write angry reviews of it going, yeah, should be called Mock the Weak. And you're like, yes, that's the joke. Here we go.
Okay, so your next song is really wonderful, I've heard.
Giving radio the finger.
Yes, whenever Stuart Goldsmith plays a nice moody song with a moody ending, particularly that one had a lovely moody ending, I like to slam a little sting onto it.
Do you know,
back to Fubar!
What's upset me now is realising that that was another one a bit like Green Gloves. It was sort of moody, single voice.
Oh, all your records are like that. Yeah,
yeah,
that.
We all
know that now.
I feel like I've got other stuff to give, but
you
it's just,
I don't think you have.
The laws of random are not helping me.
Yeah, that's
the
what
laws
we've
of random.
Stuart laws.
Stuart laws.
I call them.
Oh, but this is unfair because it sounds like we're mocking the comedian Stuart Laws.
No, not at all. I think the comedian Stuart Laws should be in charge of
it. It's Stuart Laws
enforcing.
In the sense of Beck's sex laws.
Yeah. And I want to defy the logic of all sex laws.
Yeah, well, you can only defy the logic of some of them.
Let the handcuffs slip off your wrists.
Some of them, mate, are there for a reason.
I wish that song would come on next. That's a great
song.
Oh,
no, do it.
I want to
was only a minute and a half. Should we chuck another song straight on?
Yeah.
And hope it's sex laws.
Stop trying to cheat the icon.
No, I don't think we should cheat it. I think, like the end of the film Maverick, you should just hit it and we'll both be winners in life if it's sex.
Do you know, that happened to me. Sometimes the shuffle is just the most wonderful thing. I sat in a car with a friend, and also a friend I hadn't seen in a really long time. And I
the best kind.
Yeah, well...
No, the second best one.
I don't want to see you for 2 years. So we sat in the car, and for some reason I said, what should we listen to? Even though, it was weird, I said that out loud, even though I had no control about what we were going to listen to next. And they said, I don't know, some Hendrix? And my shuffle went...
Nice.
It made me almost believe in religion.
And I guess that's why they call it coincidence.
Yeah, that's right. But it was a big one. It's a big fat coincidence. It was a chewy coincidence.
Yeah. But if it wasn't there's lots of times you named a thing that didn't come on. It's coincidence.
Yeah. Have you ever got in a car and said, what should we listen to, when you didn't have any control over it? I can't think of another time when I've done that. It was odd. I'm not saying there's a God. I'm not even claiming there's a God. You sport my story.
Claim there's a God.
Well, some people, you know...
Claim there's a god, put your money where your mouth is.
Other gods are available. So...
are you queuing one up? What are you doing?
I've got one here, but I'm just being professional. I was setting mine up ready, but I was going to talk to you about something else.
Okay.
Talking of proposals, I watched Jerry Maguire again this week.
Oh, yes.
That's a great film.
Ah, now, I know that you watched Jerry Maguire because you recently did one of your Facebook quote challenges. And
this
it was Jerry Maguire, wasn't
for
it?
Anyone who doesn't know, every now and again, when I'm in the mood, because it has to be quite a famous film, there's only certain films
it's a great game.
You basically do advanced film quote challenge, where I quote a film and then you respond by, instead of naming the film, you have to do another quote from the film.
And then the 17th comment down names the film, and everyone goes, oh, read the rules.
What are you playing at? And that's a lot of fun as well. And yeah, some films are amazing. And it's a great way of re-enjoying eminently quotable films.
Yes, of course.
If you dust off a Star Wars or With Nan and I.
Or a Die Hard. The quarterback is toast.
The quarterback is toast.
Amazing. Oh, can you get this one? You'll get this. Hasta lasagna, don't get any on you.
Nice. I've got a... It's advanced film
contract. So I'm back.
Those darn Gideons. They stamped it, didn't they?
Kittredge, you have never seen me very upset.
Wonderful. Wonderful. This is one of my favourite films of all time.
I love it so much. And when I first saw it, I had just come back from Prague the week before. Me and my friend had a superhero-esque mission in Prague, and then boom, we're in Prague.
For anyone who doesn't know, we're talking about Brian De Palma's Mission Impossible. One of the truly wonderful films.
So great.
Yeah.
So great. And do you know what the best bit about that? All the stuff I love in spy movies and like Bourne things, like in Bourne, best bit in any Bourne is when he jams the book in the toaster. Because it's a completely reliable, possible bit of tradecraft.
Keep it simple, could happen.
Best equivalent moment of that in Mission Impossible, taking his jacket off, unscrewing the light bulb, crunching it up, shaking it out on the floor so he can hear when someone's coming.
Yeah. Mwah! A little bit of shorthand, absolutely.
So great.
Grabbing a Bible because there's one in the hotel.
Brilliant.
And it's nice when they use low tech. Jason Bourne's great for that because he's always using public transport as well. There's a bit in the Bourne Supremacy where he reads the timetable.
Yeah.
How could that be a sexy spy?
Oh, so
have a look
great.
At the page of the A to Z for a minute. God, I love that stuff.
I might go back home and watch one of those.
The great thing about, because some people are very resistant. It's interesting, Tom Cruise has come here. People are very resistant to Tom Cruise because he's a bit too famous.
Love the guy.
And off screen, he's made a fool of himself some of the time.
Yes, and there's the Scientology thing which creeps everyone out.
Oh, well, that's a good example of him making, and you know, jumping on the sofa, all that rubbish. But his films, he's just so good at his job. His films are all good. His bad films are still good, and his great films
are
great.
Did you see Oblivion?
Talking of his bad films, no, I didn't see
Oblivion. I loved it so much. I saw it with six other comedians in New Zealand.
Sounds
and
fun.
Everyone hated it, and I sat there loving it, and I moved two seats away from them so I could love it without them whittering.
Yeah.
It's so great. I mean, it's rubbish, but
why were they
so
talking?
Great.
I'm sorry, but just because you're not enjoying a film doesn't mean you can talk in the cinema.
They were riffing and laughing and making up jokes about the film.
Afterwards, I'm going to want names, and I'm never going to the cinema with those people.
No, I will give you names.
I will accept those names. Jerry Maguire, I think, is just wonderful. And I would ask this, which is better, Almost Famous or Jerry Maguire? I think they're good in different ways. Let's talk about this. But anyway, we'll work it out while I play my next song.
Let's do it.
My songs so far have been good. I've been very pleased. So let's see what happens here. It's probably going
to...
I'm going to tumble now. Girls by The Prodigy. Tune with a CHOON.
That has got to be a runner. When that comes on, you've got to literally take off.
Always
not literally, figuratively.
No, you can't literally take off, unfortunately. That would help.
You could be in an aeroplane.
Yeah. Too much. But put it back up a little bit. That's it. I've given away the secret. We're just working on our studio.
I don't think it's
levels.
Any different. Yeah. I don't think it's making a difference to mine, you see. Oh, yeah, no, that's me.
Mine.
That's me.
Yes.
Yeah, sweet times.
So, yeah, we had a little bit of. We did a bit of studio raving on that.
Oh, I'm going to. I'll tweet to the at FUBAR, which is presumably at.
It's FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR
Radio. FUBAR.
Cracking little. Cracking little daring leaping around picture there.
Yeah, I was raving on up. I love a bit of the old raving. I got to do my last show, Talking of Edinburgh Shows, my last show, Music Face, which basically had a rave in it. I did that at Glasgow Comedy Festival the other day, which is lovely.
Oh, nice.
Because really, when I rave in my set, it's not just the only time I get to rave, that's the only time anyone gets to rave.
Yeah.
It doesn't really exist anymore.
No
does
one.
It?
Yeah, and the love for that raving bit from the audience.
Yeah, well,
like,
when people have raved before,
we went
in Brighton the other day, and we did Brighton not long ago, didn't we? And people just coming up after us and going, and it's like, this is it. Us talking about it now, that's the same. That's all we've got compared to being in a field in 1992. Oh. But it's all good.
There is some footage of on YouTube of, like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning after a rave in 1992. I saw it recently. Someone put it on Facebook.
Yeah, you don't want to see that.
You don't want to see that.
You know what's
you don't
wonderful?
Want to see it.
Do you know what's brilliant about being, I want to say our age, I'm going to say my age because I'm slightly older than you, but either way, anyway, is that we didn't have camera phones.
Yes.
Know, ultimately, what you've got there is evidence. You know, this band I was talking about, the band I want to do a 25th anniversary gig of, and might well do. I mean, I'm in touch with all the members. It could happen. We did some gigs, and in all our memories, I'm not just beefing this up, in all our memories, they were great gigs.
Yes.
And no one is ever going to challenge that because there are no records of it.
Absolutely. And the ones like, Late and Live back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day that no one remembers or recorded.
Great gigs.
Great gigs.
And it is true, isn't it, when
remember
you do
gigs?
Remember
that time Kitson did a human pyramid with six clones?
Yeah, exactly. No one remembers the half hour before that where everyone was going, get off, to someone who's given up comedy now.
Yes.
Because of that.
So painful.
Yeah, great days. I noticed when I was dancing just then, because I really was dancing, I have to admit to myself...
Proof now, at Stu Goldsmith, proof on the
Yeah, that's it, look it up. And talking about being a dad as well, is that I'm always happy to dance. I try and avoid the postmodern dance, try and actually dance. But my dancing has always had a really broad base.
Yes.
I get my feet down.
Oh,
and then
I see.
I quite enjoyed that.
My feet are locked to the floor quite far apart. I think you're supposed to bob them and move them around. There's something crab-like in a way that I quite enjoy.
Yes.
I think you're either someone, when it comes to dancing, you're someone who can either do the feet or not do the feet. I can't do the feet. I can do some feet, but you know, people who can actually dance, like the way girls can dance, all girls.
Yeah.
We're going with that
stereotype.
Where it's just like, just from side to side in the rhythm.
Yeah,
can't do it. Certainly can't do any of the quick, natty footwork required for dancing.
Yeah, I think sometimes when I bring the feet in,
lots of arms. It's
kind of secret indie thing you don't know, and this is all shows how I grew up into it, because I went from like The Cure into raving, because I got these sort of wide legs and do this kind of bobbing around thing. I was just the crab thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if I start trying to bob my feet together, suddenly my knees get very close to each other.
Yes.
I will lift one knee up.
Disaster.
I look down, suddenly I'm shoegazing.
Yes,
I've got
the
one-legged
yes.
indie guitar pose, which people still do to this day.
Yes.
Disastrous.
Oh, dear. I used to have a lovely dance floor prank, which you need to organise with other people ahead of time.
Yep.
You can do it with three or four other people. You pick on a victim. That's a mean word, but let's just say...
You pick a mark.
A pranky. Yeah. And you and everyone else, while they're dancing, you dance around them, and then you gradually face inwards, take a step back, create a little circle around them, and start clapping as if they're amazing.
Yeah.
And it's great, because it's sort of, you know...
Do you do this to a stranger?
Playground bullying. No, bullying. To friends.
Essentially bullying.
But to friends. Loved bullying. Loving bullying.
Beloved, enabling, bullied
But bully loving, yes. And you step back, and often you get other people who aren't in on it joining in because they're, why are we doing this? And they just pick humans like joining in.
Yeah.
And then once in a blue moon, the person in the middle will suddenly bust a move and it'll all go off and you're the king of the dance floor because you've created an amazing thing, and then you slip away like tyres in
space. Didn't something terrible happen with you breaking someone's bones by trying to play a trick like that?
Oh, no, it was a different... Oh, this is so great. I mean, it's not great. It's terrible. I saw him last night. We're still friends.
What a wonderful little prologue to this story.
My fiancé's, a gentleman called Rick... who is a slight, gentle man and a lovely, lovely man, but kind of quite wee. There's a game called Get Down, Mr. President, and it's the best game in the world where it's a bundling game. And what you do is you agree with everyone that you're playing it, and you put one hand onto your ear as if
I want to be clear at this stage, yeah. Get down, Mr. President, out of context, sounds like it might be a bit James Brownie. It's not about partying in the White House.
Not a musical
like that.
No, but there's a little presidential angle, which is that you put one hand to your ear as if you're listening in on, you're a Secret Service guy. Everyone, when they see you, everyone else has to do that. And so the last person, e.g. the one person who isn't doing that, is Mr. President, because he's the only non-Secret Service guy, and everyone sees him and shouts, "Get down, Mr. President!" and bundles the hell out of him. Now, this is a brilliant game. It's so much fun to play at festivals. It's really stupid. It's really enlivening.
It's postmodern.
I'd explain the rules. Rick was with us, and I did that, and he did that as well. Oh, no, someone else did that? No, Rick's boyfriend was there, John. John did that, although on reflection, he may simply have been on his phone. I thought we were playing...
That's a really key detail.
Rick did not know we were playing. I bundled him, and I don't think he broke anything, but I think he sprained his ankle and had to be removed from Glastonbury Festival. He had to go home on the Saturday morning, and he missed Dolly Parton. And I was... gutted. It ruined my festival, and it ruined his festival. It double ruined his festival. Although he got to, because he was the victim, he didn't feel any guilt. He just had his festival spoiled, whereas mine was spoiled, and I felt guilt. So really, I was worse off.
I don't know if you're getting any takers on that. And the trouble was, if I remember rightly, you were trying desperately to apologise to him all week long, but you couldn't get hold of him because he was working 9 to 5.
Nice.
Thanks.
Are we linking out of this, or can I tell you another game?
I can't link out because you haven't plugged your phone in.
Oh yeah, let's plug me in. Another game that myself and... Yeah, you've got to keep talking when you try to plug stuff into you, otherwise it's not great radio. Well, I get a longer cable, that's my advice. So
it's always someone else's fault, isn't it, Stuart?
Always, always is. We invented a game called, this is such a great game, it's called Do You Want to Be an Owl or Not? The game is, you need to try.
You could cut, you know, not to be William Goldman here, but this
owl
game could be called Owl or Not. Yeah.
No, because the point of the game is long-winded and complex.
Do you want
itself.
To be an owl or not?
What you do is you try and ask someone whether they'd like to be an owl. And if they don't notice that you're asking them whether they'd like to be an owl...
Can I just ask something about this? Who?
Thank you.
Who do
you ask? You would appoint if they don't notice. But you have to do it. You have to mention at least two owlish traits. So, for example, you would say, oh, I'm really hungry at the minute. I want some chips. And I'd go, oh, I imagine you'd be more into field mice, what with your revolving head. And if you manage to get to the end of the sentence without you going, I don't want to be an owl, then I win. And we're all playing it forever.
Okay.
Let's have a lovely song.
Let's see what happens.
Here we go.
Wait.
We've gone forward. Sorry, one sec. This is a relaxation soundtrack. We can't have that. It's like Theta Waves for 20
minutes.
Go
to a proper song.
Oh, here we go.
Colours by Hot Chip. I suppose if you had a hot chip, you would then spit out the hard parts, wouldn't you, in a little kind of bundle?
No, I wouldn't. I'd swallow them down because I like to punish myself.
Yeah, you sure? Because I'm pretty sure that you like to regurgitate the feathers.
No, I don't want to be an owl. Yes! Thanks, man. Great game, right? Great game. I'll be honest with you, the only person who's ever listened to how to play it and then played it ever.
Oh, you knew that I was gonna.
I mean, next we'll be playing Beat Match. We'll play Beat Match.
No, just give me a minute. I'm still enjoying. Okay. I don't want to be an owl. Good old Hot Chip. They're excellent. Still making great records.
Absolutely. But now I'm in the defensive because I keep thinking you're going to ask me about that. They're still making great records, which must be hard to listen to.
Yeah,
with your small ears
up in your nest.
Don't want to be an owl, by the way.
There was an owl documentary on recently. It was really good, apparently. I missed it, but I read a review in the paper, and my son watched it, and has been hitting me up with owl facts ever since.
I like it. What's your favourite owl?
Well, I like the barn owl. Screeches, totally silent, can come up behind you.
Totally silent, is it?
Yeah.
I like a little owl. I just think they're cute.
Yeah.
Are they called a little owl or a small owl?
It's a little owl.
A lovely little owl. There's an owl cafe. I think it's a hipster thing. I've got a feeling it's in Shoreditch. It's an owl cafe.
Yeah.
Like a cat pub. You can, this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, like a cat pub.
You know, like
what the hell are you talking about?
Like a dolphin restaurant. the owl cafe.
I used to really enjoy chatting with dolphins. You know, we just clicked.
Oh, that is good. Is that yours? That's great.
Mine.
That's wonderful. The owl cafe. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't mind hipsters. I don't mind the cereal cafe. I don't mind stuff like
hey,
that.
Hey, I run I past just the think, Proud Archivist.
Is there? Oh, is that? That's quite hip, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no. There's loads of pubs around Britain called the Proud Archivist.
I've been to that one.
So
but
yeah, it's owl pub.
The owl pub. I just think if there's a fire, I hope the owls themselves survive.
I mean, they're having a good time. There's a hoot.
Oh, stop it! That's awful. That's nothing like the skills of we just clicked. What a lovely joke.
In
a lovely little joke. There.
You see quite a lot of barn owls in Cyprus, and apparently they were introduced.
I don't.
If you're there,
never been.
Yeah. You're in Cyprus. There's a barn owl. You see them quite often. They were introduced to control the mouse population.
Okay.
But all they've got is a massive owl population.
Owl population. What do they introduce to get rid of the owls? Tigers.
Yeah, and an old lady in the end. She just eats them all. She starts with the fly and then just works up.
Does she work up to an owl?
They've introduced an owl.
An old lady has swallowed an owl. It's physically impossible to swallow an owl.
She regurgitated the feathers and the bones because she herself was an owl.
like one of those riddles. Like someone asked me, I do riddles with my godchildren, with my nephews. There's one of those incredibly annoying riddles where someone says something like, okay, there's a swimming pool, it's full of sharks, and you swim to the other side, how is that possible?
Yeah.
And they just kept me going for ages, and they were like, I lied about the sharks. Like, that was the answer to the riddle, I could have punched them.
Yeah, you can't do that. Although, that there is a Buddhist Goan that does that, which is great.
Goan?
Do you know Goan? I'm going to lean across and high five you for that. Go on for go on. Beautiful. You know, because a go-on is about bending your mind, getting balanced.
Your mind. Is that what they say? Guys, we're all going to bend our minds.
No, this is me talking.
Okay.
So you've been, you know, heavily critical of that turn of phrase. It's just personal to me. It's like a joke. Only instead of making you laugh, it makes you think of two things at once.
Oh,
you know,
go on.
The sound of one hand clapping.
Yes, okay, yeah.
So just to give you an example, one is... this is a good one. These are all from a book I read called The Curious Case of Sid Finch, which is about a Buddhist baseball player. Great book.
I like it.
Anyway,
it.
This guy, imagine, this is you, actually. You're running and you're being chased by a tiger, white tiger. You trip and you fall over a kind of cliff edge, but you grab onto a branch.
Yes.
It's not so much a branch as a root, like the one in Razor Stark. The white tiger is above you. This is it. The white tiger's at the top. And you look down at the ledge below and there's a black tiger looking up. And they both want to eat you. And there's you're holding onto this root. Oh, it's kind of a viney thing. Anyway, there's two mice nibbling at it. A white one and a black one. And you're hanging off that. Don't know how long you can hold on for. Tigers, mice. And yeah, growing off the root, strawberries. And with your other hand, you just take one and you eat it. And you think, that is delicious.
Yes. Do you know, this is uncanny. That is referenced in a Todd McFarlane Spider-Man comic, which I read some literally 20 years ago. And I thought of it 2 days ago. And it's come up again. Because the way it was worded at the time was, I guess that's why they call it. Anyway, it was worded in the comic as, and it was like the story of an old man doing it. And he plucked the strawberry and popped it in his mouth and let go of the branch. How sweet it tasted. See, that's the, like, there we go. That's your last go. That's your last sensation.
Yeah, although you could then say, and then the black tiger got him. And he went,
Yeah. He turned out the black tiger was just a shadow. I lied about the black tiger.
That's it. The one that was kind of irritating but good is like, you've got this glass cask, just solid glass, and there's a live goose inside.
Okay.
How do you get the goose out of the glass cask?
Yes. You smash it?
No, because you might hurt the goose.
I don't care about the goose. I'm going to kill the goose when it gets out.
Okay. Well, that's good, because that's how you get it out. You just say, yeah, it's out.
Oh, it's out. Yeah, yeah. Have you read the book A White Merc with Fins? It got turned into a not brilliant film.
I've heard of it.
But it's a really good idea, because it's about a guy who... It's a perfect crime. I don't want to give it away because I think people should read it. But it's a perfect bank robbery thing. Like, you know, like the film, the Spike Lee film, An Inside Man?
Yes.
It's a brilliant idea for... You've seen that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a brilliant idea for a perfect robbery.
Listeners may not have done.
Yes, but I don't want to give it away because
is it set in Helsinki?
It's about going to Moscow.
I just wonder how the Finns are involved.
It's on the back of the Merc. Yeah. Oh, God, no, I can't. God, no. Hit the button. Hit the big red button and cancel the show.
That's when Rob does jokes like this.
It's a bit of a go-an or something, whereby he says, how do you get to Moscow? And the answer to the riddle is, you go to Moscow. You don't plan to go to Moscow. You don't think about going to Moscow. You don't talk about going to Moscow. How do you get to Moscow? Go to Moscow.
God, lesson in life.
It's about him changing his life by going, I want to be rich. I'm going to take a load of money. I'm going to do this perfect bank job.
He just goes to Moscow.
Just go to Moscow.
I must go now.
Oh!
I must go to Moscow.
That might be why they changed it.
No, that's a Fred Astaire
quote.
Still
hurting off the Finn.
Yeah, and you were hurting most because you didn't get it.
Oh, so bad. So
hopefully somewhere listening just saw that whole thing happening.
Oh, God.
Good song so far. I've really enjoyed the music selection.
It's been great fun.
We've been balancing each other. My tunes have been quite fat. Yours have been a bit more delicate. They've all been good.
They've been good.
And let's see what I've got next. Here it comes. Oh, that's the Shouty track by Lemon Jelly.
I had never heard that before, and I loved it. What album's that from?
It's enormous. That's from 64 to 71. Is it called 64 to 71? It's got like a year's name. I love Lemon Jelly. I think they've split up now, which is a real shame.
They did that album that had the cover, the album art was like a sort of Postman Pat type kind of rolling hills.
Yeah, Lost Horizons.
Yes, and on it they had that song about it was just names of places that they'd been, like, I'm a wandering man.
Yeah, Rambling Man.
Rambling Man. It was so great.
Beautiful. 64 to 95 is the name of the album.
Gotcha.
It's the one after Lost Horizons, and the one before it was like a compilation of all their EPs. I don't know if they did any other albums after 64 to 95, but they're one of my favourite bands of all.
Lovely.
In fact, I had this thing, you were talking about raving. You know, I always over-egg my own rave experience. I didn't do much of that stuff.
Never over-egg your own rave.
My good lady wife, the Hawk, did a bit.
Your wife is called the Hawk. It's my favourite thing about you, and that includes all of your material and personality.
Well, you would like that because of your, I mean, you're a raptor yourself, aren't you? With your talons and your
beard. No, I'm not. No. You're a raptor. Is that a type of?
Raptor is a
any animal with curved claws. Is that right?
Yeah. Or I thought it was a killing bird. It doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway, we said goodbye to that life together, and I talked about this in my show last year, so sorry if I'm segueing into it, but it's anecdotal stuff. Because 10 years ago last year, 2004, we went to the Big Chill. Have you ever been to the Big Chill?
Never been.
I don't know if they still have the
August.
Big Chill. Yeah, it clashes with Edinburgh, yeah. And it was very, because it's not like going to Glastonbury, particularly back in the day.
No, it's sort of like a mini latitude even.
Yeah,
and
pre-latitude at the time. Very kind of good. You're never far from falafel at the Big Chill.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to see, we had some other, I was working, so we hadn't gone to the festival Complete Commitment. We'd gone to the festival you know, because I was working. Mm-hmm. We had some other friends who were working, and we went to watch Lemon Jelly on the Saturday night and were enjoying them. And then we had this moment, which is like one of these go-ends, where our friends who were working there, they went to work. But their work was to run through the crowd shooting bubbles from guns.
Oh, so they did that.
And we turned away. The band were playing. They were fantastic. We turned away and walked literally over the hill back to our tent because I had to work the next day. And she had morning sickness, which was a double whammy because she was also pregnant at the time.
Yes.
Harsh.
So that was your... And sorry, so the point of it is you walked over the hill and away from your
And
old,
we moved on.
From your festival life.
And we got a stronger work ethic. We got children. And I don't regret leaving that lifestyle behind at all.
Oh, but I do regret leaving that lifestyle behind. Yes. See, we're very festively. Me and Sask are very festively. We're going to Glastonbury, as we always do. We met at Glastonbury 4 years ago. It'll be our fifth Glasto anniversary.
Never been.
And have you not?
Never been.
It's
Although
so
I'm on,
nice.
I'm on in Glastonbury
so
next week,
great.
By the way, listeners.
Oh,
I'm on in Glastonbury on Wednesday, I think.
Doing Pyramid Stage?
Travesties. That's it, Pyramid Stage. I mean, I'm just there just one day. It's just a little tour. Glastonbury, little tour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. Bring back the fins.
They're on the back of the etc. And but I've never been, and now I kind of think I ought to not go because it's a thing.
Rubbish!
I'm festivaling this summer.
No one's like, oh, that Rob's cool. He's never been to Glastonbury.
Yeah, not doing something is never. I suppose not killing.
It's better to not regret not doing something you didn't do than don't regret something that you haven't done yet.
You just unpacked so many negatives. I don't even know who I am.
On the subject of unpacks, I'd like to give a shout out to my friend Will, who goes by Bloody Helm. On Twitter, I believe, and because on the podcast I mentioned I frequently unpack things, it's become a sort of a buzzword. Apparently I say the word faff quite a lot, and I'm frequently asking people how they unpack their ideas. And I got back from holiday, and my friend Will tweeted at me, Stu, just tell us, when you got back from holiday, how did you unpack all that great stuff?
Great. I love it when, instead of being like a subtext, it's actually a text.
Yeah.
Let's use the word for its actual meaning. I'm going back to the festival. I'm going to Camp Bestival this summer.
Great.
Doing the Green Man.
Lovely.
Possibly
more. I've never done Green Man. I'd love to, but it's all
Spider again. Bracken Beacons, and it's a little Wonder MacFest connected thing. Wonderful.
Great, man. You're doing Mac?
No, I'll be in Norway that weekend.
Oh,
if anyone
so
doesn't know...
No, don't tell them.
MacFest.
No, you're not allowed to talk about
comedy
it.
Fans, that's okay.
Even then, I got told off for putting it on Chortle. I mentioned it in an article on Chortle.
You're right. What? Mention what?
Exactly. That was so nice. Because there was silence, which isn't great for radio,
okay.
But it was good silence.
We haven't got much time for
songs,
so plug up, because I want to know what you've got on there. And I also want one of us to play something embarrassing before the show's over, surely.
I hope so. Here we go.
Hit me up. Pearl Jam, Spin the Black Circle.
Oh, I love
they
them.
Seem cross.
Love them. Oh, got to remember. I'm so glad
energetic.
We're not going to have time for my next track. Because it's by mawkishly sentimental Canadian folk singer Dar Williams.
Oh, we might be able to fit it in.
And do you know what? It is the most mawkishly sentimental.
You better not cheat. I tell you what, we'll squeeze it in. We'll try and have it so low that we only hear the first 30 seconds.
Mawkish. Let's do that. Let's get out on Dar.
Spin the Black Circle. Ironic, because obviously we're not spinning any circles. We're playing MP3s.
True story. Yeah. And that's exactly what Eddie's angry about.
Have you ever heard?
Saw him live. They played for 3 hours and 10 minutes. It was the end of the tour, Milton Keynes Bowl last year. And who was we bumped into? Ed Byrne was there, and the Pyjama Men were also enjoying
themselves.
That's
the yin and the yang, you know, a great gig in Milton Keynes.
Yeah, man. Well, have you been to Milton Keynes Bowl?
Yeah.
I'd never been. It's bananas.
It's a good venue.
Crazy, great venue. So
because the rest of Milton Keynes is a lot like the end of the Donald Sutherland Invasion of the Body Snatchers, isn't it? Yeah,
It always makes me feel sick when I do that. I shouldn't do that. excuse me. So 3 hours and 10 minutes they play for, and my now fiancée was very, very tolerant. She's not a fan of Pearl Jam, particularly. She's not a fan, but she's a fan. And she's not a fan.
I'm sorry, I really want Now Fiancé to be a compilation.
Now that's what I call
40 fiancé. Of the greatest tracks to play in those months before the big day.
she was very gamely up for it for like the first hour and 45 minutes, bless her. Yes, absolutely. But it was just great. They played literally everything that they've ever recorded. And I loved them. I've never seen them live before. And there was a lot of people there. there who were guys in their mid-30s to late-30s who were holding cider in one hand and slapping there and knowing all the words to all the greats not caring about any of the other ones. It was so great.
He didn't really come up that often, but when I used to do the thing about bread in the mouth, you know.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he's quite bread in your mouth.
Eddie Vedder,
bread,
more like. Bread in my mouth. Exactly, you know, so. But the thing is, that's become so endemic now, you can't really call it. That is how you sing. In the post-auto-tune universe, the way that your George Ezra's and Sam Smith's prove that they're proper singers is by going, like someone's, like, almost like you're trying to choke up a little pellet of
bread.
And bones, you know, like you do.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Yeah, he's not an owl. We've proved that pretty definitively.
Can I tell you about the game Beak Match?
No, I want to tell you something else. Beak Match. I'm coming back to it because I've got an important link to make to 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, yes.
I'm hoping to do the London Marathon in that time.
Oh, you could download the entire Milton Keynes Pearl Jam gig and see what broke first, your mind or your feet.
I think that would get me round.
You'd be like running away from it. You could get someone behind you to chase you with it.
Yeah, with the Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
The actual original jam from their grandma.
That's not what Pearl Jam means.
Yeah, it's
I
fiction,
think you know.
Yeah, that was a lie. It was a crazy lie. I'm doing the London Marathon next
month. Good for you,
that's
mate.
My third London Marathon.
I will never do that, but good for you.
My fourth marathon. Hey, you might have a midlife crisis yet.
No, I'm already morbidly afraid of death, Rob. No need to run around in order to prove
I'm
it.
I'm not anymore.
I'm asthmatic and I hate running, so I can't see either of those two things changing particularly. I am being more exercisey these days. I'm doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I am loving it.
Is that where you have to kick someone in the fanny?
No, that is where you nice. That's no, it's like regular Jiu-Jitsu, only much smoother. It's tying people up in knots and it's so much fun. I did it at Edinburgh last year during the festival and it completely changed my festival, because who cares about a slightly swingy review when some massive Scottish bloke's trying to tear your head off and clinging it off
that
for dear life.
That throws
such a great way to exercise without noticing your exercise.
That's going to put things into context, isn't it?
Totally, so much fun.
Well, I'm glad. I feel like everything's all falling. So there's been lots of coincidence and yins and yangs and all that silly rubbish today. And I want to do this marathon.
Exactly as many yins as yangs as well, which is nice.
That's the magic, isn't it? And I want to. I did a 20-mile training run on Friday. The backs of my thighs need work, if you could sort that out. In
20-mile training run, and that's not even the actual run.
I know, but it was great. Makes you feel good.
Someone told me years ago the most dispiriting thing about the London Marathon is when you cross over the bridge and you see and you know that the finish line is on your left and you turn right.
That's right, that's true. And you're just about halfway, but not quite. And then you have to run through Docklands, which is also like the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I have run through Docklands as part of 2.8 Hours Later, which is a zombie run thing.
Yeah, then you know. But that would kind of fit. You know, if you're doing the zombie thing, that all works.
There's an app called Zombie Run that my friend Pete swears by, which it's like a... It plays you as like a zombie, kind of a soap opera, radio soap opera thing as you run. And it, you know, it tracks when you're running and then puts a quick run now, they're coming. And so you run and it's like interval training. But
yeah,
with zombies.
I'm anti-zombies in the modern culture. That's a whole other thing. Don't get me started.
That's insane.
We haven't got time.
That's
insane. Zombies aren't a fun thing. They're an analogy for the miserable life we're living. And the fact that they're rife in the culture shows exactly how bad the world's got.
But The Walking Dead is great. And that's the point of The Walking Dead is that
The Walking Dead is on message, you know. But going for a fun run with a scar on your face, what point does that make? Answer me that, Stuart.
I can't do that. You look like you're about to press a button, so I'll let you do that. Okay, yeah.
Okay, this is, I think this will be my final song, and I think it's going to be good. Stop me if you think. Have you heard that one before?
I was not prepared to stop you, but I believe I heard.
Can't believe a bit of Smiths.
Like it, man. Yeah. It was good. I was never into the Smiths. I was never into them. My girlfriend, Beyonce, is a huge fan of them. Not my girlfriend.
Now, Beyonce. Including all the songs.
My now Beyonce is, she's a massive, massive Smiths fan. She plays them a lot. And I have to accept that they're great. I don't know why I wasn't in them. I think it was being a belligerent metaller when all my friends were indie kids.
Yeah, and also they're easy to, it's very formulaic, which makes it easier to like and easy to not like. I mean, I loved them. I loved them at the time. And people say it's really miserable music. And I said, no, it isn't. But, you know, essentially
it is. It's pretty miserable, mate.
And that's okay, you know. All these things are true. I'm not a big fan of Morrissey now, but Johnny Marr more so, particularly in interviews and things. His records don't amaze me, but I like him when he's talking.
They don't amaze me? Is that as a result of you trying to get sound through your little beak whilst revolving your head?
No, because I don't want to be an owl. Stuart Goldsmith, tell me, are you performing a gig today?
I am. I am headlining, I believe it's called Secret Dudes Club for Pappies.
Such a good name.
Three-person legendary sketch troupe. Sketch outfit. I think I love it when sketch comics are a sketch outfit. They're a three-man outfit.
Yeah.
And it's myself and John Robbins.
Skit crew, I prefer.
Skit crew. Yes. And we're performing at the Prince of Wales in Brixton tonight. And I believe I'm headlining / on last, as we say in the business.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm headlining.
I'll be doing, I think it's a sort of new material muck around sort of a night. So I will be doing some not too shonky new stuff. I'm hoping to do my stuff about Jack Reacher.
Ah, Jack Reacher round more like. And yep. Before, because this might be like podcasty, so, and it yes. will be, and it's also on again next week, all that stuff. Listen again to whoever's in for James next week.
He went a bit walking then.
Go
listen
for
again.
This hunk of metal. When is your Soho Theatre?
The 7th of April will be the first one. I cannot reveal to you the guests, but they are high rollers.
Very,
and it's the
very
first
good.
Tuesday of the month for the next 4 months from that date 4th. You can find out about it at sohotheatre.com. And you can find out about the podcast by looking for Comedians Comedian on iTunes,
if
or
you
going
have
to comedianscomedian.com.
Any liking of comedy, and you haven't done that before, I can strongly recommend it.
I mean, the thing is, I'm really proud of it, because it's easy to be proud of it compared to my stand-up, because my stand-up is me, whereas this is me asking intelligent questions of people who are brilliant and then shutting up and listening to their answers. So I feel like I'm at enough of a distance from it to go, man, it's really good.
And
I'm
once
so
you shut
proud
up,
of it.
You
it's
can turn
show.
Your head all the way around.
No, I don't do that. Never do that.
Well, that's brilliant. I want to thank you for being on the show with me here today.
I've had so much fun.
Your records. Next week, Luke Wright, who's a poet.
Oh, yeah, man. Luke Wright's great. Yeah.
He's in for James next week with Rosie Wilby as his guest. So that's going to be
great too.
At least as good as this show was.
Lovely. I imagine he will have some right old wonky music on his iPhone.
Yeah. Well, frankly, our music's been great. I mean, yep. I'm almost sad that we didn't shame ourselves.
Because
there was some gold, wasn't
there? If we've got 30 seconds, I'm prepared to shame
myself. Oh, okay, good. You're going to have a bit of Dar Williams to play out on.
This came up genuinely randomly, but it needs to be heard. It's so mawkish.
Okay, here we go. We'll have Dar after this. Please look us up online. Fubar Radio. I'm doing Rob. He's ComCom Pod, Stu Goldsmith.
At ComCom Pod.
He's at ComCom Pod. Well, the at is assumed, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I didn't realise you were talking about Twitter.
Thank you so much. And enjoy life from here on in.
Guys.
Play this song.
Here we go.